podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It's the Bart Winkler Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I am Bart Winkler, of course, Carlos Ortiz alongside. Busy night in the NBA. We're going to say that every night. It's kind of a crutch, but it is. It's a busy night in the NBA. We've got Celtics and Knicks. We've got Timberwolves and Warriors. Game 5 of Celtics and Knicks will be back in Boston. Kevin Harlan's been on the call on the TNT side of things. He will have Game 5 once again for us. Kevin, it's been a hell of a playoff so far. Thanks again for joining us. And I think the story of these playoffs has been, you know, especially in the initial part of round two, the road dominance. You know, there's kind of a more, it feels more parody-like. I know there were so many years that we thought, why are we doing this? It's just going to be the Cavaliers and the Warriors. And then it was the Cavaliers and the Warriors. Even recently, though, the Celtics seemed like they would be there. Does it feel like this year is different, or is just kind of we're getting caught up in the fun of it? Because it does feel, I think it feels different.
No, I agree with you, Bart. It has a different feel to it. And by the way, it's great to be on with you again. I think that with the road team winning as they are, it sure gives a balanced feel to what we're seeing and witnessing every night in these playoffs. There doesn't seem to be the dominant team, even Oklahoma City, which was so dominant analytically, metrically, win-loss-wise, right across the board, is clearly struggling with Denver. And that series has been even. Boston, New York continues to evolve into a gritty, 3-point success-based type of series. The Knicks are healthy and whole and peaking at the right time, giving the Knicks, a really good shot. We saw it in the first two games in Boston. Celtics came back. They've kind of found their groove a little bit here. Every series, it's too bad that Curry has departed the Golden State Minnesota series, because that, I think, would make it even more enjoyable. But all of them have that feel. You know, I go back and forth on, do we need a dominant team? Do we need a villain in the clubhouse? Do we need that team that has the big X on their back going into the playoffs? And clearly, as the defending champion, Boston had that feel. But I think now, with what the Knicks did in the first two games in Boston, I think that's kind of gone. The way Cleveland, the number one seed in the East, has faltered, that clearly is gone. The way that Oklahoma City has struggled a bit with Denver, that is gone. So there is more parity. It does seem like it's up for grabs. The NFL has thrived in this environment forever. And everybody applauds the NFL for parity. That you get to the last 2 weeks of the regular season, you know, 3/4 of the teams are still alive for a playoff berth. So if we enjoy it there, why don't we want to grasp that same notion in the NBA? I think some people are. It's just different, right? For so long, it was the Lakers. For then, it was the Cavaliers. Yeah. Then before that, Miami. Golden State had their dynasty. We've had these runs, but now it feels like it's a little bit parceled out here. And I, for one, like the unknown. I like, you know, there's no team that everybody's aiming for. There are individual players. There's Jason Tatum. There's Brunson. There's Edwards. There's Curry. There's Jokic. There's SGA. But there doesn't seem to be the team that everybody sees as the villain or the team to beat. And I like that environment personally.
Well, and one thing that I've talked about a lot with the comparison to the NFL is, like, if the Super Bowl was the Browns and the, the Seahawks, we'd say it's the Browns and Seahawks. We wouldn't say, you know, but in a good way. I think in the NBA sometimes what happens is, if it's the Pacers and Thunder, or even the Cavs and Thunder or something, we say, oh, it's Oklahoma City versus Indiana. For some reason, like, the name and the city which they're in has been a bigger, like, it's carried more weight in the NBA in terms of marketing or whatever. But I've been saying I want to see a Cavs Thunder finals because I think it would be the best basketball. Although the Cavs, I don't know what's going on with them, but even a team like Indiana, the way that they're playing, I think that we're getting, and so far, you know, maybe we'll get back into the trap of some people wanting the finals to be in vacation destinations and not just great American cities. But so far, I think the basketball has really been so good that all those other superfluous conversations there's been no need for them.
No, Bart, you know, the NFL has always built teams and rivalries. The NFL, if they get a star quarterback or they get a star receiver or they get a great defensive player, they'll say so-and-so and the Baltimore Ravens. But it's not just your constant, we always concentrate on the quarterback. Let's take that position out of it. It really is rivalries. It's teams. It's a deep roster. The NBA operates with far less. It's five guys on the floor, and we make the biggest deal out of Donovan Mitchell or those guys that just rattled off the big headline performers, and it's rarely the team in the NBA. Now, listen, that's how David Stern, the late, great David Stern, marketed this league when he got Magic and Bird. He said, we need stars, and the media grabbed onto that notion, and they've run with it. It was Michael Jordan. It was Dr. J. It was Magic and Bird. It was Kobe. It was Shaq. It was, you know, LeBron, clearly. And Steph Curry. And now we're waiting to see who that next guy is. There is no viable guy to grab that baton from James. There really isn't. When Curry and KD, Durant, when LeBron, when they're gone, and we're on the clock with all three of them, there is no who's next, who's got next. There's no guy, at least right now, visibly, you know, patently, to grab that baton and run with it. So the league is kind of at a crossroads. And they might be wise to know that a lot of our star players are going to be overseas kids. They're going to be Europeans. And that name is not going to resonate. Maybe it's Cooper Flagg in the future, but we don't know. He hasn't even been drafted yet. So we're kind of at an age, in a transitional stage, where it's more almost about teams than it is about the individual stars. And we've already lost one star. We've already lost James. We've already lost Curry for one game, two games. It could be longer. And I don't know. And Durant, what, didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So we're kind of at a very fragile state or at an intersection of when it's not the stars, it's the team. And maybe we got to kind of rejigger our thought process, realign our thought process into what the NBA is now and not what the NBA has been. When Doncic and James exited, there was a noticeable uh-oh, like an exhale a little bit, like saying, all right, now what are the storylines? Now what is the much talked about second round series? And the Knicks have provided that, but almost more as a team and as a culture and as a following than they have an individual player, although Brunson is just so great and so clutch and has all the components, but he's not the acrobatic James or Kobe or Jordan. That's just not his style, but he's a great clutch performer, but he's more part of a team. And so that brings us now to like a new, how do we view, through what lens do we view the NBA right now? And that, I think, is a topic that is evolving as we speak.
Yeah, that's a good point. Kevin Harlan, NBA on TNT, he's been in Boston for the Boston and New York series. He'll have the call for you game five. And you've been with TNT for a long time. Obviously, it's the last year of Turner's rights. But as we've talked about, like, the marketing differences maybe from 25 years ago or when Turner first got involved, I mean, you've been there for much of it. Does sometimes it feel like, so we see 100 threes taken by the Celtics in those first two games, and we saw the first quarter of the Thunder and the Nuggets the other day. And we're seeing some 90s-like scores. But then if you look, it's like, oh, it's because they've missed 30 threes in the first half or whatever. Does it at times feel like you're – I mean, it's still basketball, but it's almost like a completely different thing that you're calling over the years.
Well, you know, it used to be, Bart, when we would do series, and I've been with TNT. This is my 30th year with TNT. They broadcast it as a company 40 years, and I've had the honor of doing more play-by-play games for Turner than anybody else. So we've gotten to see different stages. We got to see the Jordan and the Kobe of the 90s, LeBron and Kobe of the 2000s, and, of course, the advent of Curry and how he has changed the game. But it used to be in these series, we'd look at so many different categories. Points in the paint, second chance points, free throw differential, turnover, points off turnovers, you know, second chance, fast break points, like all these different things, and about, you know, the rebounding. And we'd focus on offensive rebound. We'd focus on just the rebounding category overall. And now the first thing out of my mouth is the three-point shooting, like you say. And it's taken away a little bit about what makes basketball great. What makes basketball great is that each position of the five on the floor all have a different feel. The center and the post. But now we have big men shooting threes like Kat. We've got, you know, and Porzingis and like Jokic. They can all hit threes. Like these seven-footers hitting these threes. It's just amazing what we're seeing. Not to diminish what it is, I wish, in my heart, I wish it was the three-point shooting, points in the paint, points off turnovers, fast break. I wish the three-point shooting were one of about seven categories that we would look at. Even I throw the plus-minus in there. When they're on the floor, make a difference. You know, I wish it were not everything is about how many threes they did or did not hit. It does seem to lessen the depth of the game. And there is so much depth to the game, but a lot of it is predicated on the threes. And many times that's where we begin the conversation. And I'm not the old man on the lawn saying, get off my property. I'm just saying, the game is such a beautiful game, and 3-point shooting makes it beautiful. But what also makes it beautiful is great rebounding and great transition points and great defensive play. And great, you know, transitional point scoring. And there's so much to the game. Like in the NFL, it's not just about touchdown passes. It's about rushing touchdowns. It's about sacks. It's about third down and offense and defense. Like the NFL has basic. Now it is more of a passing league, and we all get that. But we also saw that if you can't run the ball, you are in trouble. You've got to run the ball. And that has kind of made a comeback. So I'm kind of hoping in the NBA, some of these other areas that we valued so much in the 90s and early 2000s makes a comeback, you know, assist to turnovers and playmaking and all the things associated with it. It just makes the game more varied, more fun, more layered, I think better overall.
I saw a stat, Kevin Harlan here, and I want to know if you experience something that I sometimes experience as a broadcaster. The stat was on April 30th, you called your 1468th national telecast of one of the major U.S. pro sports, which broke Marv Albert's record by a game. And obviously you're racking them up, although Kenny Albert's right behind
you. I did not know this. You are telling me something I did not know. I knew in the NFL that I had cracked the top 10 in NFL network TV broadcast, which that group includes Summerall and Michaels and some just incredible play-by-play people, because CBS had done something on the air. I did not know about this number.
So this
though.
Stat is it's a Twitter account called Unnecessary Sports Research. What they're saying is that of the four major pro sports, Dick Stockton's called 1,444 games. Kenny Albert's called 1,455. Marv Albert's called 1,467. And on April the 30th, you called your 1,468th.
Oh, my God.
So congrats, first of all.
Well, I did not know that. I know. Yeah, I'm taken back by that. With those wonderful names and men I respect so much, you've sprung something on me I did not know.
So with that, I just wonder, because there's times that people will come up to me or they'll talk about, you know, something that I've said on the show. I've got no recollection of it. I believe I said it. It sounds like me. There's got it, but you're calling these games with these, like, you know, crazy moments, although they're not all the same. Some of it's got to blur together a little bit, right?
No, it does. You know, like, well, I'll tell you when it blurs together is when people will mention a game that I may have done even 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, because I do two NFL games a week on Sunday and Monday. And even sometimes, Bart, I'll get on a plane after a game on a Sunday afternoon for CBS heading to my Monday night game, and they'll say, who won? And I'll have to say, who played? Like I got to think about what game did I, because you quickly flush it and you're on to your next game. You know, some you remember clearly. And if people talk long enough about a certain game, it'll come back to me, but it'll take about 30 seconds. And some of these ones I got to reach way back to try to remember. But honestly, quite frankly, it has been if I don't look in the mirror, I feel like I'm 24 years old. I feel like I've got the same energy as when I was 24. I feel like I've got the same love for the game and the business of broadcasting that I did when I first got in. But then you give me stats like that. Like if you would have asked my 24-year-old or my 14-year-old self, you know, what I think about that, I said, oh my God, I there's no way in my wildest imagination I could have ever felt that way about where my career might go. And it's just by the luck of the business, honest to God, there's so many great broadcasters out there, and someone will pass my number, but no, some of the games they do, some of the seasons they do blur. And people say, oh, I remember this call. And I said, I didn't even know what you're saying. And I go, yeah, wasn't that fun? And I'd have to go back and think, what was he talking about? Like, I don't remember. So, no, it happens. It just does, just by the sheer volume of the games. And then I'm adding all the radio games on there, too, which none are included on the TV. And it really gets murky. And I am getting older. I do. My mind might not be as sharp as it once was to remember all that stuff. But the vague remembrance of most of it is there still.
Well, yeah, the energy sounds there. You sound as good as ever. It's always a treat to listen, and we're excited for another game tomorrow night. Kevin Harlan, always a pleasure. Look to do it again, and have a good call, what you'll remember of it.
Well, I enjoy your work so much, Bart. Sure nice to be on with you. Thank you for the invitation again. I'll look forward to the next time we get a chance to talk.
Kevin Harlan joining us here again, NBA on TNT. We'll be back with more on what's going on tonight. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler, Carlos Ortiz. Alongside our thanks to Kevin Harlan. Joining us, he will have game 5 of the call on TNT between the Celtics and the Knicks. I don't quite get how they're doing the coverage. It must just be because of other commitments that they have. Turner is airing some hockey, but then again, so is ESPN. But the Boston games, game 1 and 2 of that series, were on TNT. And then the New York games, 3 and 4, were on ABC or ESPN. Game 5, TNT, 6, ESPN. And then, so they separate it that way. And then once we get into the Western and Eastern Conference Finals, one has the West and one has the East. So they stay consistent there. But you still got to kind of flip around and be like, what are they on tonight here? Big TV news. Apparently Michael Jordan and is going to be a part of the NBA on NBC coverage as a special contributor. Now, does that mean he's given his gambling picks or what the hell here? I don't know. But it's a vague enough thing that, hey, you can have the headline of Michael Jordan's going to be a part of our product, but also there's no expectation about how much he'll be a part of the product. He's not an analyst. He's not at the games. He'll be a special contributor. Maybe he'll do an interview once a month. I don't know. No one does. But it got him to be at the upfronts, or at least a video, and it got advertisers all excited. And that is the point of all that. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. A monumental night in the NBA tonight for a couple of different reasons. If this holds to form, what we're seeing right now between the Timberwolves and the Warriors, there's 10 and a half minutes to go. Timberwolves are up 99-80. And Steph Curry not back, won't be available in game 5, I do not think. Wednesday's supposed to be when they take a look at him. Now, if they get to game 5, maybe they force the issue. I thought it was game 6 that was going to be when we first saw him. Maybe, you know, things change or he does play on it when he shouldn't or rushes back. Because, again, with these hamstrings, you got to just kind of let it be and figure it out as you go along. But is it worth it? Is it worth rushing him back? They have to win. The Warriors have to win one of these games in Golden State. And they were close, and it looked like Saturday night, I thought it was going the Warriors' way, but then Ant stepped up pretty big. Randle had a big night. And now right now, the Warriors are down 18. So we could start to be seeing, like, the end of a Warriors era. I don't think Draymond's going anywhere. I don't think Steph's going on anywhere. Jimmy Butler's going to be there next year, but this certainly was a year where, all right, we've got a team here that, you know, still feels like the Warriors of old a little bit. This would give another legend on the Anthony Edwards Express. He's been knocking them out in the playoffs last couple of years. So right now they are up 18 points. Jason Tatum is hurt. It's looking like the Achilles. They'll do the MRI tomorrow. But this feels very similar to when Damian Lillard got hurt. And everybody that had eyes agreed, hey, this looks like the Achilles. And then he ended up missing the rest of the playoffs, but he's going to be out for most of the year next year, if not all, depending on how long that rehab process is. And now Jason Tatum may be in a similar boat. So the Celtics were already going to have to make some changes next year. Otherwise, they were paying, you know, that the roster as it's constructed with the luxury tax is going to cost the owners about $500 million. Some $450 million because they have to get under the second aprons and luxury tax and all that stuff. But now with Tatum being out, if that's what we presume, it's the same situation in Milwaukee. It's one of the guys you're paying $55 million to that is going to be getting that money just to rehab. That's fine. You want him to be a part of your team, but that's $55 million you can't spend anywhere else. And he's your best player. So that's a big issue. And then the draft lottery was tonight. Where I think it's like it's very important when you look at this draft lottery, the teams that coming into it had the best odds were the teams that needed Cooper Flagg or a number one pick or hope the most. The 19-win Charlotte Hornets, the 17-win Utah Jazz, and the 18-win Washington Wizards. And they are all 4, 5, and 6. Four, five, and six. So they'll get help. This is a decent draft, but it's not going to be the guys that were available at the top, and it's not going to be Cooper Flagg. So Philadelphia, who had a very down year but still has talent on that roster, 24 wins, they've got the third overall pick. San Antonio, who, again, towards the end,
kind of coasted, especially after Victor Wembanyama was out. But they had 34 wins. They got the number two pick, up six spots from where they were projected. Dallas went up 10 spots from where they were projected. They had 39 wins last year. They were in the play-in tournament. They got the number one spot. So these teams that have a good kind of structure to them, 1, 2, and 3, and then Charlotte, Utah, and Washington, teams that are just a disaster, got bumped down 4, 5, and 6. The odds of the top three in the NBA draft being Dallas, San Antonio, and Philadelphia were 0.0114%. So that's like 0.01%, if I'm doing my math right, and I think I am. So that's like, there's impossible, and then there's right before impossible. We'll call that virtually impossible. And that's what happened tonight. And it was the Dallas Mavericks, by the way, folks, that got the number one overall pick. The Dallas Mavericks, who have been clowned all year for trading Luka Doncic. And not just that they traded him, but they only involved one team in the process, really, the Lakers. And the Lakers didn't even give them a worthy package, but both sides said yes. Cavaliers lost LeBron James. Remember that? What happened the next year? They got the number one pick. They won the lottery. Pelicans moved on from Chris Paul and then found themselves having the top pick. And they were trading AD to the Lakers. And oh my God, they got Zion. No way. The Mavs won it after trading Luka. And then there's, of course, all the conspiracies regarding the frozen envelope with Patrick Ewing. Now, they do show you video of how it went down. They invite different journalists into the room. And I'm sure Bill Ryder, Infinity Sports Network, he'll talk about the process on his show in the morning on many of these same affiliates. If not, the Odyssey app. Free to listen, free to download. I can't get to a point, Carlos, where, like, if my life was on the line and I had to say the right answer, I just still can't get to the, I can't say it's rigged. But if it isn't, like, I want to believe it's not, but it's got to be.
It 1,000% is rigged.
Once, like, I think we went to the moon, but they did say by the end of the decade, and we were in a very tight race with Russia, and then we went to the moon. Like, if you go to the moon in 1969, shouldn't there be, like, a colony on the moon by now? Right. Even at least, like, 20 people hanging out?
Right. The 57th state should already be on the moon.
Yeah.
Now, be one hell of a ticket. I don't think I'd
But
move.
I believe in the thing, but the conspiracy certainly makes sense, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'll put the moon underneath my NBA conspiracy. This is about as stone cold of a fact that I've ever seen in any sport. Like, people want to talk about how the NFL is scripted. The NBA draft is 1,000% scripted. This is WWE level stuff. You're not going to tell me that the Mavs, who have been dragged for the last 2 to 3 months, they're getting killed left and right, just coincidentally get the number one pick after trading away Luka. This is one of those wink, wink, nod, nods. The Lakers might be dead once LeBron leaves. We're not going to have any star power there. Give Luka to the Lakers, and we'll make sure you have your next star in Cooper Flag. This just makes all the sense in the world. Now, this completely put me off of NBA, except for playoffs. I got to watch playoffs. It's too good. But I'm out on training camps. I'm out on the offseason. I'm out on the draft. I'm out on free agency. I was already kind of borderline out on the regular season. You think I'm going to be watching any cup games? No shot. Wake me up every year when this is the playoffs, because more than half the teams get there anyway, and they all are scripted. The Mavs are going to make the playoffs next year because they'll have Cooper Flagg, Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis, it's a ready-made team. They should not be number one overall.
They're rigging a team for making a dumb decision? Or the conspiracy is Silver put in the call and said, get Luka to L.A. and we'll pay you back. So that's what the...
That's exactly what it is. They're like, let's make this happen. You kind of want to move on from it anyway, so just start leaking it out there, start putting it out in the ether, and when draft time comes around, boom, we got you. Because Marco, once you saw the Mavs were in the top four, I turned to my wife and I'm like,
they
have them number one. I'm like, I'm not even going to be surprised. And then I was absolutely floored, but this is totally rigged. I also want to say this, scrap the lottery. It's not working.
Yeah, we can talk more about that. Do you think this is rigged, Marco? What's your thought on this?
You know, I'd love to be the rational brain here and the guy that steps back and goes, guys, come on, what could you... I'm struggling with this one. I really, really, really am. The only other explanation is your Nico Harrison comes back from the future, Bart, and already knew, so yeah, he looked at it and was like, you know what? Cooper Flagg and Luka Doncic, not going to work together, but Anthony Davis and Cooper Flagg and Kyrie Irving, I got something going with that.
Yeah, no, seriously. My future theory, I think, has some weight to it, that he is a time traveler. Now, I did see a video of him celebrating.
Him celebrating or his ankles and half of his ass celebrating? Because have you seen this video? The hell is the phone on the floor?
I don't know. And where are they eating? This is a nice steakhouse they're eating at.
Are you sure?
That's what it looked like.
What, the tablecloth looked good?
The chair bottoms were as pristine as, trust me, I used to clean chairs.
Yeah, no gum underneath those chairs.
Mm-mm. It can't be. See, here's the thing that's so crazy. If you're actually going to rig this, you almost have to do it this brazen. It's got to be this obvious, because then it's so preposterous that we'll say there's no way. When you the biggest trick that it's the easiest it is to rob people is when you're doing it in front of their face, and not when you're taking their wallet out of their back pocket.
And let's be clear. The only people that would have to know this, unless you want to get ownership involved, which that gets tricky. But if it's Pelinka, and even honestly, Pelinka doesn't have to know. Because once you call and go, I'll give you Luka for Anthony Davis and some garbage and no picks, he'd be like, yeah, all right. He's going to, of course, say yes. So you don't even have to tell the Lakers. You only got to get either Nico Harrison, well, you need him because it's his job on the line, and then the owner for the Mavericks. That's it.
No, we really only need Nico.
Well... Nico has to be able to, unless you tell him, like, look, you're the only one that can know it. You have to really convince your owner that this is the right move without telling him you're going to get compensated with the number one pick. That's a tough sell. He could have got fired before he actually got to tonight.
That's true. That is true. True, true, true. I would love for, like, Pelinka to be 100% serious and be like, all right, is this rigged? This is sketchy. wait. I know we benefited from this, but... Did we only get Luka because you promised? Like, I want people to go nuts.
You're right, but even if Pelinka does that and he walks into Adam Silver's office, or he even does it on TV, I mean, he's going to get the Godfather response. He's going to get Michael Corleone to just stare at him. You know, like, never go against the family again. Like, you're not going to get a real answer out of that, no matter what.
you're just Adam Silver going there, don't ask me about my business.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's basically what it is. He's going to treat him like Kay, and he's going to shut the door in his face. I mean, there's no way. You can't. You benefited. Shut up.
They've taken so many steps. Like, Ewing was 100%. That was rigged, right?
I mean, yeah, and I'm good with that. And there's a reason. You could say, well, the Knicks have sucked for 20 years. How come? Because the league and James Dolan don't like each other, and more importantly, the league hates James Dolan, so the Knicks have gotten no benefit for 25 years. Understandable. This was, you got to be
simpatico. But now they've taken so many different precautions, and there's like a number system, and it came down to a coin flip.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This could have been Chicago's pick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was never the Bulls' pick. It was never.
Could have been.
No, we never had it. We as the Bulls, we never had it. We are doomed to be in mediocrity. We are the play-in game. That's it. That's our ceiling. No number one pick. That's it.
Did you see the coin? It was heads, Dallas, and then... The other side was also heads, Dallas. Well,
that's what I mean. Like, was it two-faced flipping the coin? Like, do we have ball bearings in the ping pong balls? Again, do we get the frozen envelope? There's always ways around these things. Always.
And the more they try to put it in front of your face, then the more I'm thinking, okay, there's something going on here.
Well, not for nothing. If you get a magician to come in front of me and do something, am I going to be able to call him out on it? I'm aware it's magic, but I can't figure it out just because it's in front of me.
All right. I think I'm more wanting to believe this is real, but the evidence is really starting to stack up. And in this league, where I do believe, like, whether it was a ref or Stern or whatever, like, the Bucks in 2001 were not allowed to go to the finals. The Kings got robbed. The Timberwolves. Teams have been – the teams have gotten robbed before. So this league, I don't know, man. I don't know. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll talk to you guys on a crazy night. We got Guess What They Said coming up next hour. Plenty more to do. It's the Bart Winkler Show, and this is an update from Marco Belletti. The draft lottery is rigged. It is so obvious, and we all know it. I don't know, though. I can't. No, it can't be. It can't be. But why does it feel like it might be?
Because it is.
The Dallas Mavericks get the number one pick. If that trade went down when it did, Luka, and then we would know then that they would end up getting the number one pick, would we have been less hard on Nico Harrison? No. This is not some galaxy brain thing that he did. He was rewarded for bad behavior. He got away with it. This is not, he did, if I do this and then I do that, this is not some chess move. What do we say? Everyone's saying it's 4D chess. No, guy's eating the pieces. And yet, here we are.
You know what he should do with the number one pick?
Well, that's the thing, is we're not even sure he's going to draft Cooper Flagg. That's what people are saying.
I don't know if he should use that pick at all. He should trade for Luka.
If Luka's worth it, then people would be like, hey, look at that. He made a good deal. Is Cooper Flagg good enough of a defender? Because defense wins championships. No, I personally think so, but we'll see what Nico Harrison's got up his sleeve. 888-710-4476. Sonny is in Cleveland. Hello, Sonny.
Hello. First time caller.
Hey, welcome. What's up?
So, the NBA draft is definitely rigged, 1,000%. You remember when LeBron James left Cleveland?
Yeah.
The next year, Cleveland had what? The number one pick. AD got traded to L.A. the next year, Zion Williams.
Number one pick.
So it's 1,000% rigged. And that's all I wanted to say. Thanks for having me call.
Well, thank you. Well, so what are we going to do about it? We're going to sit here and make jokes and all agree that it's a scam and do memes and then what? Well, Carlos says he's out, but I'm not sure how in you were to begin with.
I was in that I was watching regular season games. Now that's out the table.
And this has nothing to do with the fact that your Bulls lost a alleged coin toss?
No, because I didn't get myself worked up about it. I saw it was a 1.8% chance. I'm like, okay, you know, there's no way I'm going to make it. And then the Mavs have the same percentage and they win it? I fully didn't expect the number one pick. But I didn't expect the Mavs to get it either, hence why it's rigged.
I was looking at some Dallas Maverick conversations. You know, you can go to Reddit or just online or whatever. And there's like it's a weird vibe because obviously they're happy. But they're also a little bit like, man, like because they hate Nico. They hate Nico Harrison. And, you know, when they drafted or they traded and drafted, got Luka, and you thought, okay, here's our next generational guy. Can a Dallas Mavericks fan think that we're going to be able to keep Cooper Flagg for the next 10 years? Or,
dude, not only that, like, if you're a Mavs fan, you should be even more pissed. Because you'd be like, yo, we had Luka and we could have paired him with Cooper Flagg? Are you kidding me? I would have lost it.
I really think that the only way any of this makes sense from the trade to this is Nico Harrison has been to the future. Or he saw, maybe he saw somebody like a medium or whatever, and he bought into it. And they gave him a very detailed, so we need to find out what else he knows. We need to find out what else he knows, what's going to happen in this world, how can we protect or profit off of those things. Because he knows something. There's something about any, something's wrong here. Maybe we're in a simulation. That theory's getting stronger. Something doesn't add up. It's the Bart Winkler Show. More from you guys coming up next.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough. Just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.